thought, her lips too thin. Her gray eyes were large, and Victor often called them luminous, the dear. But her hair, it was sorrowful. Dirty blonde. Victor called it sandy. It never behaved. Pauline had cropped it short, close to the skull, and still it stuck out all around in a sea of calyx. She tried to consider her good points. She was tall, and her figure still slimly elegant. She had always strived to carry herself proudly, chin up, shoulders back, head erect. Now she was beginning to wonder if it was worth the effort. Victor stepped into the bedroom and slid the door shut. The lock didn't catch at first. He had to jiggle it a few times. "This whole tub is breaking down around our ears," Victor Zacharias muttered. He was right, Pauline knew. Glancing around their bedroom, she saw that the dresser and cabinets were badly in need of upgrading. Even the wall screens had developed an annoying little flicker. But the bed, she would never replace their bed. Victor had ripped out the compartment's built-in bunk when they'd first leased Syracuse and built a handsome, oversized bed with his own hands. Painted the plastic paneling to resemble real wood. Made a mattress out of discarded elastic water bags. Their one luxury, their bed. "We'll do an overhaul when we get to Ceres, won't we?" she asked.
"I was just talking to Ceres," he said, walking across the little compartment and kissing her absently on the crown of her head.
"Three more ore ships have been hit, so prices are up."
"Three ships?" she asked, alarmed.
"Corporation ships, Pauline. Nobody's attacking the few independents like us. Not even the mercenaries."
"Still..."
Ignoring her unspoken fears, Victor mused, "If we can get this cargo of ore to the market before prices dip again, we'll make a nice profit. Then we can overhaul the ship good and proper."
"Will we be able to afford a rejuve therapy, too?" Pauline blurted.
"Rejuvenation?" Victor looked genuinely shocked.
"You? Why?"
She loved him, not least because her husband always seemed to see her through adoring eyes. He was short, barrel-chested, starting to get pot-bellied. That hardly mattered to her. His underlying strength, Pauline knew, was in his character. Victor Zacharias had pride, yes, but more than that, he had intelligence. When she'd first met him, Victor had been strong enough to bend steel rods with his bare hands. What really impressed her, though, was that he was sharp enough to talk his way out of confrontations, clever enough to win fights without violence. And he had that beautiful, thick, curly, midnight black hair. Pauline envied her husband's luxuriant dark ringlets. This many months out in the belt, he had allowed his hair to grow down to his collar.
"I think it's time for a treatment," Pauline said. "I'm not getting any younger."
"Pah!" He dismissed the idea with a wave of his hand. "People back at Ceres think you and Angie are sisters."
"That's not true, Vic, and you know it."
"It is true," he insisted. "You just don't notice it."
"Nonsense."
But she smiled. He sat beside her, just one hip on the corner of the dresser's little padded bench, and put an arm around her slender waist.
"You're gorgeous, Pauline," he said into the mirror.
"Not as gorgeous as I used to be." He raised his dark brows, then took a breath.
"I think it's gilding the lily, but if you want a rejuve treatment when we get back to Ceres, go ahead and do it."
"We'll be able to afford it?" He nodded. She leaned her head on his shoulder, and he curled around and kissed her, and slid off the bench, plopping onto the threadbare carpet. They laughed together. Later, as they lay in their handsome waterbed together, Pauline said into the shadows,
"Victor, Theo thinks you don't trust him."
"What?" She turned toward him, sending a gentle wave through the bed. In the darkened room, she could make out the curve of his bulky shoulder, the outline of those raven ringlets.
"He wants more responsibility, darling. He's almost 16 now,
and he's a terrible klutz," Victor said, chuckling.
All arms and legs, no coordination. Pauline smiled, too. She remembered Theo's disastrous attempt to repair one of the galley's faulty microwave ovens. It was functioning poorly when Theo started tinkering with it. It was a complete loss by the time he gave up. But she coaxed. You could let him relieve you in the command pod now and then, couldn't you? Like you let Angie sit in. After all, the ship's cruising on automatic, isn't it? We are on course for Ceres, yes. Couldn't Thee watch the panels for an hour or two? It would free you up to work on repairs, and it would mean so much to him. As long as he doesn't touch anything, Victor muttered. Maybe he could even work with you on more of the maintenance chores, Pauline suggested.
I'm not sure I have the patience for that, he said.
But you'll give him a chance? She sensed him smiling.
He wants to go to Selene University and study biology, he said.
Leave us? She felt startled by the thought.
Sooner or later, said Victor. I can't keep him on the ship against his will, not for long.
But he's not even 16.
He will be.
Victor fell silent for a moment. Then, I wonder what kind of a man he'll turn out to be.
I've tried to teach him.
Give him a chance, Pauline urged. Show him that you trust him.
I suppose you're right, he said softly. I'll have to give him a try.
Ore-ship Syracuse, approaching Ceres. Syracuse was shaped like a giant wheel, with two long intersecting spokes bracing the rim, a pair of 3-kilometer-long buckyball tubes running perpendicular to each other. The ship's control center was nothing more than a pod attached to the rim at the end of one of the spokes. The ship spun slowly through space, producing a sense of almost a full Earth gravity along the rim of the wheel. Now remember, Victor said to his son, watch everything, touch nothing. Sitting in the control pod's command chair with his father standing at his shoulder, Theo nodded unhappily. This is a big responsibility, son. I'm going to leave you in charge for a couple of hours. To Theo, his father's heavy-browed, dark-haired face looked somehow menacing. Victor looked like a solid, sawed-off stump of a tree, his torso thick and powerful. He wore faded gray shorts and a sweatshirt, the sleeves cut off to show his hairy, muscular arms. Theo kept his own skinny arms hidden inside long sleeves. The command chair in which Theo sat was wedged into a curving bank of screens that displayed every aspect of Syracuse's systems. Propulsion, navigation, life support, logistics, supplies, communications, emergency equipment, and the 14,000 tons of asteroidal ores held in magnetic grips at the center of the slowly turning buckyball tubes. We're on the approach course for Ceres. The controls are locked in, so you don't have to worry about navigation. Are you sure you can handle the responsibility of being in command? Victor asked anxiously. That's a laugh and a half, Theo said to himself. The ship's on automatic, and I'm in command of nobody. Plus, I'm not supposed to touch anything. Some responsibility. Misunderstanding his son's silence, Victor said, It's a dangerous world out there, Thee. There's a war going on. I know, Theo muttered. Ships have been attacked, destroyed, people killed. Dad, the war's between the big corporations. Nobody's bothered independent ships like us. True enough, Victor admitted. But there are mercenaries roaming around out there, and out-and-out pirates like Lars Fuchs. You told me Fuchs only attacks corporate ships, Theo said. You said he's never bothered an independent. Victor nodded gravely. I know, but I want you to keep your wits about you. If anything unusual happens, anything at all, you call me at once, understand?
Sure.
At once, Victor emphasized. Theo looked up at his father.
Okay, okay.
With a million doubts showing clearly on his face, Victor reluctantly went to the command pod's hatch. He hesitated as if he wanted to say something more to his son, then shrugged and left the pod. Theo resisted the impulse to throw a sarcastic two-fingered salute at the old man. At least, he thought, it's a beginning. I'll just sit here and let him take over once we've entered Ceres-controlled space. It's a beginning.